Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday night. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. And for those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So, without further ado, you know it's Friday and heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens tonight, and I will be joining them. And once again, as we wait till my brother come on to hear this out, I want to thank God for all of you that have been listening to the broadcast and faithfully listening to us over these 3 years. So may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Because he is worthy to be praised and be glorified. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, we look at today and so many events and things are happening and coming to pass, and some people are becoming very alarmed, scared, agitated, you name it. But we must understand that God has spoken these things. And, you know, if you go to him and pray about it, you don't have to worry about him catching him off guard because he spoke these things. We just need to know where in the Word to look for it. Amen. And once again, I just want to encourage you all that, especially that are born again believers, to come closer to God, you know, that you may be able to stand. Because there are certain tests and things that are on the way. Amen. And we're going to have to know Jesus in order to survive the things that are coming. Amen. Praise be to God. So, all glory and honor and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. You know, for those of you who had listened, I think that was yesterday. I did a broadcast yesterday morning, and I was talking about order. If I'm not mistaken, the last one I was on. And people, it is very important that we keep order, especially us as Christians. Amen. And I think that sometimes some of us think that because we are Christian that we can do things any kind of way that's going to be pleasing to God. Or we can just say, well, the Lord had me doing it, giving ourselves a reason to act out of order. But once again, God is not going to honor disorder. He's the author of peace and not confusion. And he said in the word of the Lord, bear ye the fruits of my spirit, that it may be order in my house. And so once again, whenever you have disorder, that means there's a lack of fruit bearing in the house, or if it's the church, or in the nation. Amen. Praise be to God. Our prayer for ourselves personally should be, Lord, help me to walk according to your order. Amen. And I know there was times that I went to do things or even thought about doing things that God had to get on me because he was letting me know, my child, that's not the order way I have you to go. If you go God's order way, you're going to be in the perfect will of God and fully protected by the Lord. But when you getting out of order, God is not going to support you, okay? He's not going to support you in that thing. And, you know, some people don't even believe that. Once again, they think because they're a Christian or can claim God whatsoever, that God is going to automatically honor that, and he's not. I'm here to tell you, he's not going to honor disorder. You know, no matter how greatly he have used you, he's not going to honor disorder. Praise be to God. So there are some who are listening today who you've been doing some things and you have said that God has given me to do this, but you're going out of order. And I'm here to tell you that the Lord said, repent and seek his face about the way you should carry it out. I'm telling you, this is very important because he's not going to support you when you're out of order. Now I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
God bless you there, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, this is another great and wonderful day. I was just pausing to try to get a gist of what you were saying.
Oh, yes, I was talking about order. I did that. I did a broadcast yesterday morning. I have been on the last three mornings, and the last one I did was God calls us to order. He called for order. And I was just relating to the people that, you know, you have people, brother, that, you know, God, you know, sometimes God may have given them something, but they don't carry it out in the right manner. And then some of them, God, they just do things and they attach God's name to it. And they get out of order. And I remember in the word of the Lord, God said, I think that was the 42nd message, 42nd, 41st message. He said that bear ye the fruits of my spirit that it may be order in my house. So whenever you have disorder, there is a lack of fruit bearing. Whenever you have disorder in the home, disorder in the church, even in the nation, there's a lack of fruit bearing whenever there's disorder. And he said in the Bible, I'm the author of peace and not confusion. And we know peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so you're having people get on dangerous grounds because they're doing things out of order. And I was just relaying to the people that, you know, God is calling for repentance, for doing things out of order. And so that's what I was relaying to the people before you came on. Amen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was quite interesting and very important precept about, you know, order, God's order, and God's doing things. Any way of order, I guess, you know, that's just the nature of God, his unchanging nature of God. So that's, yeah, that's very important. I think you're probably right. In fact, I kind of know you're right, scripturally speaking, that is very important. That includes everything in life, I guess. God has a strategic order of things that he's unchanging, and a pattern of unchanging, like the Bible puts things in perspective about the order of things, about our family. You know, one of the things that, hello everybody, this is Brother Lee, face to face, heart to heart. This is Handmade Tonight, and we acknowledge the Lord Jesus and acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge the saints all over the world, and women of God in particular tonight, especially. But you're quite true about order. You know, I was thinking about when you saying the order of God never really changes. One is out of order, or one is disruption or confusion. Now, I was thinking when you said that about the order of God, the order of the word God, meaning we're talking about the creator, the maker, and we used a personal name in the Old Testament for God being either Jehovah or Yahweh or Adonai. So order in the creation, order in the heavens, and order how he exists. You know, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, perfect order.
Right.
And I was thinking about how your prophet quite true, because when it's Satan, you know, maybe one of his main tools is to cause disorder, you know, and disruption and out of God's order. Because you know that Satan, he was an angel, an archangel, and a cherubim, and he was got a first thing he caused disorder. Instead of him one being a servant or a messenger or a creature, he wanted to be top hat and take God's place, and he wanted to demote the living God, his creator, and he wanted to take the seat. So I said, that's quite a change of things.
Yeah.
quite a change. Out of order, what's his name, Lucifer, out of order. And because
right.
of disorder could not exist in the presence in the throne of God. Immediately, disorder was cast out. And Michael, the great prince, caused some order to maintain in the presence of the Most High. And he put disruption and disorder, he took that disorder and slung him out of there, broke wing, one-eyed devil, and slew him, took him
Amen.
Out. So you're quite true. There was a disruption, and he was trying to exist to replace the Most High God. He wanted to replace. I said, oh, hold on, mister. You're the creature. You're not the creator. But he wanted to be the creator and the maker, so that you're right. And you notice when he was cast down, disorder was gone out of that presence, you know, and we got it right down here. he got casted out down
Amen.
Here where we're
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, now we in a mess in the world, in Asian America, and everything at the end time with all this disorder and confusion. I was thinking about one of the things that Satan is causing disruption out of the natural order, creative order, and this spiritual order, creative order, and natural order. And practical
right.
order. You know that he trying to, people don't understand why we keep bringing this up but they don't understand why we keep mentioning this, why Satan is doing these particular things, because he's out of order now, and he's out
right.
of heaven, and out of his position that he was given in the beginning. Now he is a disruptor and a disorder of things, and a confusion. You notice that he's trying to make everybody believe that God, the Most High, the Creator, did not make them male and female.
Right.
I know people get upset as we do this, but we got to show you the examples, one of the things that's causing the earth. Satan has been permeating this lie, especially in the time, that the order of God in creation was male, female, bisexual, transgender, and all these other genders, right?
Right.
But what's the creative order? What's the natural creative order in the beginning? He made them, what, male
and female.
So here he come up with some stuff like, oh, we got to add some more to this. But God called it disorder, unnatural, out of the creative order, and the world is accepting this. Well, this disorder of gender about male and female. Now, people don't know why Satan is doing this. In particular, everything you see now is trying to get you to believe a lie that God made a mistake in his creative order, his natural order of things. A tree is not a tree anymore. A chicken is not a chicken
right.
anymore. And a goose is not a goose, man. He's a bi-goosel. What you call him? He's not really. Or he's a trans-goosel, you know, and this confusion, he's trying to deception out of the natural creative order. See, and so if you go back to the natural order of all creation and the earth itself, the earth evolves and revolves in order, right? And
right.
the sun doesn't, but the earth moves in its orbit and order. And the moment it gets out of its orbit, that's caused chaos. You see all these Halley comets and everything falling, everything, when it gets out of its natural order, lawful creative order that God put the sun and the moon and the earth so they couldn't run into one another. And so now all of a sudden Satan is trying to confuse in the earth. He said, Brother Nate, male and female is not the thing, you know. Husband and wife is you can come up with some other transgenders. This is because Satan operates in disorder now because he's now a devil and a demon and a confuser, and he wants to believe this lie. Let me see what we mean. Okay. Brother Nate, I think it's okay for a woman to marry a dog or a giraffe or a lion. That's not out of the natural order thing. A man marrying a beast or an animal. That's okay if he's in love, right? It's okay, right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I was just wondering.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this
thing. Brother, we already almost there on that part with the animals. You know, had one lady here in the town about an hour from here. I think they had her in the newspaper through the jail, and she been having intercourse with her dog.
Yeah.
And they was getting her for, you know, bestiality. But soon, that's going to be totally legalized. I mean, it's going to be totally accepted.
This is, the Bible said, when Ecclesiastes, what? There's nothing new under the sun? That
right.
which was, is, and will be? Well, this is part of the original and the fall of Adam, what it led to in the old world, part of the disorder and disruption, why they were destroyed, that was part of it. And it came all the way down. Now we're back to the same destructive disorder, that which was in the beginning, is now at the end time. So now, you know, it wants us to believe disorder and deception out of the natural creative order. Well, God didn't make male and female. So two men can marry, two women can marry, and it's good. I've been telling people this for years. But yeah, they're going to marry animals, and they've been having sex with animals since the fall of the man. I mean, but it's going to be really, it's going to even come what Jesus said in Matthew 24. It's going to increase to a point where it's going to be natural because they're going to make laws that is acceptable. Just like they make laws
right.
about a man and a woman is acceptable and a woman and a man. And they're making us some natural with it. You know, then when you read on TV, oh, you know, big thing. You said, oh, that's totally out of order. God's created out of his creative order, out of a natural order, out of his spiritual order, and you'll know it immediately. But now they got it so that when you see it, you say, ain't no big thing, two men walking down the street kissing, hugging, or two women and marrying. That's all acceptable.
Right. Yeah.
And I was make this one point. Why is it that every new television show that comes on, I noticed this pattern of trying to convince us that everything is all well. And I've been noticing different patterns. On all of the new television shows that you see that comes on, they have a part in there. You haven't paid attention. Every new program and old ones has now begun put a part in there where homosexual, bisexual, trans, all this is normal.
Yeah.
I watch all this stuff. After a while, and every new program has a part in there for homosexual, someone is the lead actor or role, just like the new program I think run on last night, where the new program, police program, I think was Los Angeles, where a woman is the police chief and she just happened to be a homosexual. Now, what are they trying to convince us with? What is in every new crime program or have a homosexual even at the head, a woman and a wife saying, "I'm gay," and everybody said, "Clap their hand." No, just normal. And every in the surgery or a medicine show, they're showing where a man and a woman, the two doctors are homosexual, or the two women are homosexual. Why are they trying to convince us that this is normal? They put it on every show. Now, and so I will bring up Gayle King, a friend and compadre of Miss Oprah Winfrey, a woman great admired, and I admire her for philanthropies. And Gayle King, her friend, who's on, I think it's, what that Channel 2, Bless America, she's a black woman friend. She made a disrespectful remark, I think, by Kobe Bryant. And I didn't hear it, and it's called in a shockwave. She made this disrespectful remark. Now, Ms. Gayle King happened to be a black television host, it's kind of popular. But she made this disrespectful remark. But I noticed that when it comes to homosexual on this show and transgender, all these people, she never have a disrespectful remark about homosexual, and you better not say anything on the show about against homosexual, homophobia, or transgender, but she makes a disrespectful by Kobe Bryant, who tried to help black kids invest in their future, give to great organization to help people, and a businessman, and try to be an example for the black kids, youth especially, and had a family, a normal family of a man and a woman. But Gayle King, who endorses all this other stuff, want to disrespect him, who was sort of an example to the black youth and trying to help them. So I thought it was kind of. So what do you think about that? I'm off key, you know, as usual.
Well, I had just found out about 20, 30 minutes ago from my wife about that, because I hadn't heard about it, but she was telling me about it. And I said, and she was saying even how, who was that, Snoop Dogg threatened us. He said when he see her, he going to jump on her, something he told. Anyhow, he threatened her, and now she getting threats, and saying, now Oprah's coming on TV crying and asking the people to forgive, so I said,
what's she crying about?
You know, because Gayle's her friend, and she been getting
than friend. Yeah. Okay. I leave that alone.
I put that with quotation marks around it. Anyhow, and said, you know, Gayle's getting all those threats. So, you know, she said that she, and my wife said she was crying, Oprah was, you know, asking people forgive her. At one point it was a misunderstanding or something she was saying.
It's a misunderstanding. It's forgiveness. I believe in that. And she made a mistake and off key, but she got some backlash with it. I wonder if there was no backlash where she wants forgiveness. But anyway, That's another subject. And that program are not allowed any major program news or program is not allowed. Now, keep bringing this up. They are not allowed, any of their broadcasters, none of their lead people on these programs are not allowed to say anything negative against transgenders, homosexual, or any of that lifestyle. Not allowed.
Yeah.
They can't even have a personal disbelief against it. They can't have a religious belief against it. They wind up being censored or fired. But, yeah, okay. So I just thought this disorder you was talking about. And but I have you ever wondered why, Brother Nate, the creation of God, when he made the man and animals and all the world, and he set the moon, the stars, and he planets all in their orbit, all their order to evolve without crashing against one, he set everything in order. And he noticed that you don't see a male lion in the male jumping on another male and trying to produce no children.
No. Right.
Why is that? If there was such an order, I don't see two male tigers jumping on one another. The tiger ain't confused. And so I'm wondering, why the tiger ain't confused with this like we are?
Hmm. They thinking more better than we are, brother.
but because that's the creative order. God created them, male and female, and so the tiger, when he get ready to reproduce, you don't see him running around, or the lion, two lions, males, two males and two women jumping on one another. Why is that? If it was such a natural thing, the animal kingdom would know about it. I'll just keep it up some fuss here. I just wondered about disorder since you brought it up, bro. Yeah.
Well, you know, but you're right. It has... because I know when they were talking about dogs, you know, if you breed two dogs that's, let's say, they brother and sister, how it affect on the offspring that they have. Because one point I had heard it makes a dog kind of, quote, go crazy when you, you know, just like having them performing incest. And so that's out of order.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, so.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, God, like I said, God set the order, but man been listening to Satan saying, hey, you can think above God. And, you know, you ain't got to follow him. And so man said, oh, you got a point. We don't have to follow him. And so they've been doing out of order and been running into problem after problem after problem ever since. And it's amazing, brother, that when men get out of order, they always try to invent something to try to protect themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they always
oh,
try
yeah.
to, just like, you know, when they talk about, okay, safe sex, using the condom and all this other stuff, but even they tell you that's not 100% effective. It's not even 100% effective. So when God tells you, say, you know, the right way is in marriage, and man say, hey, you know, anybody you just like, you can go ahead, and we're going to invent something that will protect you from any disease. I'm sorry. You're not going to outdo God. you can counsel.
Wow.
You know, I wouldn't
wow.
even put my bet on you at all, you know.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You know, this spiritual disorder and creative disorder and the natural disorder and the social disorder and just take it online. All happened because man got a disorder, disruption, and his order was disobeying the Most High God and created death and darkness and sin and wickedness came an unnatural result of his disorder against the word and the will of God, created chaos in the universe, what we call sin, death, and darkness. So that was an interesting topic you said about this order, because the four disorders is now falling its main line, which caused destruction. And, you know, in the Matthew 24, when the Lord God, Jehovah, had to create had to create or had to destroy the old world in Noah's day. It had got so bad that angels was having sex with human beings. That was totally out of God's creative order. He could not allow that to happen. Man had begun to have sex with animals, of course, and demons were coming down having sex with human beings. And then the fallen angels who came, the angels who fell, and from their estate, Peter says, by coming down and mating with a human being, that was totally spiritually created out of order. And the Lord had to do, that was the ultimate sin that he had to stop it. Because man, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, nobody preaches on Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you ever heard a good son on Sodom and Gomorrah, brother? Do you hear one
on
it?
Oh, we shutting the church down, brother. We ain't allowed that. So we got the church like an ostrich with a head in the sand. So now we think about preaching that kind of sermon, we just exit out and go to something else.
Oh, okay. All right. That's, you're not allowed that to mention. Okay. I apologize.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We're sorry we got off course a little bit. No, I don't. I'm not sorry. But I greet you in the wonderful, awesome name of the most excellent name above every name, the Bible says. The name that is awesome, glorious, wonderful, beautiful, none beyond description. The name of the Lamb, even the Creator, the Maker, the Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the Giver of Life, the Giver of Light and Truth, the Redemptive Name, the Life, Power, and Bread, Life-Giving Name, the Living Stream, Living Water Name, Healing, Deliverance, Saving Name, the Awesome King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Line of Judah, the Soon Coming King above kings and Lord above all lords, the most excellent one that Satan trembles and fears at. The name in our language, English, call it the Lord Jesus Christ. And in another Hebrew, call him, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus, that awesome name. Do you know that's the only name in authority that Satan recognized, the name of Jesus Christ, the authority? He doesn't recognize any other power. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah, we can't use our name, brother. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work at all. We can count for this.
So he doesn't recognize the authority of a person or any other person but the one that defeated him on Calvary in death and in the grave and out of the grave. He only recognized one authority, one power, and one who is above all, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so demons, he said, in my name, I wonder why he said in his name. He didn't just say anybody's name. It was good enough. In Mark 16. I wonder why Jesus didn't say, just whatever God you want in their name, just, you know, if you want to destroy evil or cast them out. He said, just pick a name. But he said, in my name, that means in authority and my power invested in me.
Right.
He said, in my power and authority, cast out what? Cast out devils.
Right.
Cast them out. In my name, cast out. So the devils are subject to the authority and the power of that person who was lifted on the cross, only subject to his name or his authority. And you notice all the way through the Bible, in the New Testament, the authority of the power of one person do the devils tremble at. At no other religion, no mention of Buddha. What's the other gods? Wow.
The Hindu,
I wonder why.
The Harry Priest, all of them.
Wow. Well, they must be on the wrong team then. Okay, I'm just asking. That's all. I know the Catholic priests, they try to, what they call, exhort people out. Exhort out and sprinkle some holy water on them and different stuff, and that don't work out too good, I guess.
No, we saw that in the book of Acts. It really didn't. They got whooped naked. They had them running. No, it didn't work out too well.
Oh, my God. My God. They had to run, huh? Well, anyway.
They had to run.
They had to run. Hallelujah. You know, if you don't go in the authority and power of one name and one person, when you go to these dog continents, like who in their culture, they worship all kind of deities, and we refer to them as demons and devils. And if you go to these continents, like India was one of the worst demon-infested continents, like India, and certain parts of Africa, and certain parts of Russia and Romania, and if you go to certain Europe parts where they, or certain European parts of white witchcraft, and you go to certain parts of Saudi Arabia where they worship a strong god called what's his name, Allah or something, and anywhere there's false religion, primitive or dark arts, there you cannot go in those places without the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
If you do, if you make it back, if you go over there messing with some of their, huh?
You right about that. If you make it back, you right.
Yeah. They'll say, who are you? And you have to, if you're not a marathon runner, you will learn how to be a marathon runner.
Yes, you will.
You will immediately, yeah. Without any yes.
Amen.
Training, you will come. Okay. Well, all right then. But thank you, Jesus. As sure as light and darkness are opposite and up and down, positive and negative, the creative order of creation exists. The law of gravity has not changed. The law of gravity that affects the earth, affects the planets and the order they get, have not changed, you know. But when they get out of order and, say, a meteorite begin to fall, or the earth were to get out of its orbit, it would cause chaos in the whole system. But Lord created order. And so the earth evolves around what the sun and the other planets are in their orbit. And notice that Venus and Jupiter and say, Jupiter, oh, Jupiter, I'm going to talk to you, Venus. Let's jump out of order here, and let's have a tri Venus and a B Venus, and we're going to just create our own order, like the human beings are done on the earth. A man ain't no man no more, and a woman ain't no more woman, and we're going to do just like they do on the earth. We're going to follow that disorder. But here we think of, you know, when you try to cause disease in your body, it's called disease, dis at ease, out of balance, out of order. Disease is mean out of order against what God created, health and healing. So the word disease, notice that dis ease, out of balance. So that's what comes from sin and Satan. All disease, affliction, contrary to God's original plan of health and healing, Satan creates affliction, pain, and disease. And you're at dis-ease when your body is out of order of function, and you call it, you know, refer to it, that pain or disorder when our body begin to have what they call an infirmity, disease. Our infirmity, God did not create sin, created disease and sorrow and grief, which was not in God's original plan, but through man disobedient rebellion, Paul says, he caused what is called the curse of disease. So the curse of poverty and oppression and pain and sorrow and grief, that's what rebellion calls on the planet. So here we are tonight. We have the glorious news, which is called the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is called the good news, the glad tidings. Isaiah 61 called it the glad tidings. So we do have some glad tidings in the midst of all of this, some good news, some wonderful news. The Lord wants you healed, healthy, and well, restored. Healed, healthy, well, restored, back to the original. That's why Jesus went away healing all that was sick, preaching the gospel to the poor. And two sinners came to him to oppress the sick, the wounded. They were healed and delivered. because that's the order, the original right order of God, to bring man to live long and prosper in health. So when Jesus did Acts 10 and 38, he went everywhere, healing all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. Matthew 12 says, and he healed them all. Luke 9, Matthew 10 and 9, and he healed everyone and cast out devils, and he set the captive free. He restored order. Isn't that right, brother? He restored spiritual, mm-hmm. physical, and spiritual order. He healed their spirit. Their spirits were changed. They were out of order in darkness and sin. So Jesus came in and gave them a new restored spirit of life, restored them back to life and to order, delivered their bodies and their mind from the oppression of the disorder of Satan and sin. He restored it back. That's what the gospel do, heals and restores back to the original life. He healed all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's the order. That's the proper order, the spiritual order. That's what's called the gospel, the news, the redemption of Jesus Christ. Is that, you think that probably right?
Yeah, I agree. Most definitely.
Amen. You notice that when you eat certain things in your body, that your body is not good, that you can just put wrong type of food or substance in your body, and your body will start rejecting or having a negative effect. And people don't know why the Lord, in the Israelite covenant, he created what is called a more perfect nutritional health. And he told them in Leviticus, I'm going to tell you what foods and the right proper foods are good for your health. And he never changed that since he got to the New Testament and said, it's all right, Brother Nate. I changed what I said in the Old Testament. You can eat a crow, a buzzard, a rat, a mice. It's okay. You can go ahead and eat it. Don't make no difference. I'll change that. In the New Old Testament, I gave them a perfect diet, a perfect nutrition. I said, eat these animals, and you'll live long, and you don't have none of the afflictions of the other nation. But when I got out the Old Testament, I changed my mind since I redeemed the rat. You can eat the rat, brother. I redeemed the cat. I redeemed the crow and the buzzard. It's okay for y'all. Eat the mice. I redeemed them. Somebody got confused in the New Testament and said,
amen,
God meant for you to eat anything. I think somebody came to confusion, brother. God's law, it was good, whether it's any, what you call the old or new, that law still exists about what proper good for your body. And they got in the New Testament, said, Jesus died and rose again. He redeemed the rat. Well, why don't you run around and get you a couple of rats then, since he redeemed it, since everything is good. Since everything is good, they say in Timothy, everything is good to be received. Well, go get you a rat and buzzard. Why don't, if everything is good and acceptable for the human to eat, brother, why don't people just run around and see rats all over the street? They say, we got to go hungry. Rats. See mouses or crows or go find buzzards and vultures. Why don't they do that then? Sister Kristen said, everything is good. All you got to do is pray over it. Okay. Well, these people don't have to be hungry, brother. They can just catch all the rats and rabbits and birds. And why don't you tell them to do that? Why don't the Christian just tell them? Since everything is to be received and is good. I'm just asking, brother. That's all. I'm just asking. You don't have to get mad.
No, I don't think we need to go for a rat sandwich. I think eat
what
they
said in Timothy, that everything.
We won't make it from the table after that, brother. We won't make it from the table.
But they got this one scripture in Timothy, good Christian has got a scripture out of context when Paul was telling them about the Old Testament eating and the habits, and they misunderstood how Paul was talking about it. What you eat in your body won't send you to hell, but it'll take you out of life before you want to go, wherever you want to go to. Wait a minute. That, you're not saved by what you eat. You're not redeemed from sin by anything you eat, but you are redeeming your health. Now, here's the thing. Even though I can eat poor, it has nothing to do whether I'm going to go to heaven, whether I'm right with God. But it will determine how long I may stay on this earth as concerning my body. Because the Bible said, take care of this temple. So a lot of Christians are misunderstanding the scripture in Timothy, which says, I can't eat everything. All I got to do is pray over it. Well, that's not what Paul was talking about. And that was not the point he was trying to make about your body. He was talking about your relationship with Christ. It's not hindered by what you eat. Hallelujah. But it will shorten your days. Well, how long you stay here? Because the first thing the doctor tells, what do you eat? You know that when the saints and the sinners go to the doctor with the same disease, did you get that, brother? Saints and sinners go with the same disease to the same doctor, and he tells them the same thing.
Right.
How much salt you take, or how much fried food, or how much pork you eat, or how much dish you eat. And he tells the sinner and the same, saint and sinner, the same thing. If it doesn't matter what you eat, brother, why do you run to the doctor, saints, and he tells you what is part of the problem with your disease?
Yeah.
Why is the saint sinner, the saint, his blood is going up high, or he getting high blood, or he gets a stomach problem, or cancer, colon problems, with disease, because he's eating and breaking the law, the same law the sinner is breaking, which is the same, and he gets the same result. That's why when the saints go to the doctor, they check his blood pressure, check his blood. Oh, you got too much cholesterol in your system, saint. A sinner,
right.
You're going to have to change your eating and get rid of the stress. You notice when you go to a doctor, he checks three things. He says, you got too much salt and too much sugar in your system. You eat too much fried food. You eating too much. Oh, no, I can't eat anything I want as much as I want. I'm a saint. It don't bother my body.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ken. I was just trying to deal with the disease. Now, you notice, in America, being a very prosperous nation, we have a tendency to overeat. Did I get a clap on that, brother Nate?
No, I don't think you got a clap. In fact, I think you better buy yourself a mask, brother, a protective mask.
Well, order me a mask quick, would you, brother? Could you order me an aunt?
I'm going to order you the whole suit, brother. Cause
just give me the whole suit.
They're going to throw everything
in. I don't want brother. I can't call him no brother. What is his name? Coronavirus? But I ain't got time to get into that virus. Mm-hmm. That plague, that's a plague. Now, I'm going to put it on the scripture. That's a plague. Hallelujah. Now, I ain't going to get into it tonight, why that plague is coming and what it's trying to tell us. And why is the Lord allowing it to come from China? Because, you know, they try to throw everything on Africa, you know. Every disease on earth, it got to come from Africa, you know.
Africa.
And now, you know, they try to put everything on Africa, you know. And since this is February, Negro History Month, I can talk about Africa if it's okay with y'all. It's okay.
Right.
I guess it's okay. Amen.
Right.
They won't think I'm prejudiced now if I talk about the history of nations. But anyway, he's coming through China, and they can't contain it. As of yet. And it's coming to America. You know the Inocito into America?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I ain't going to get in there tonight about that plague. And a worse plague than that is coming. Can you forgive me if I warn you? Do you think that people don't like to be warned? Bro, they want to talk about the big car and God wants you to have the best house. That's the sermon you didn't want to hear, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the pretty sermon. We want that one.
Okay. And it's all right for people to live together without the covenant of marriage as long as they're in love. Okay. They like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
They'd be happy about
that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Even your leading or popular gospel singers have even told the people that. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And am I permitted to say anything against the Pope? against false religion?
Let's see. Yes, I believe so. The word of God said contend for the faith. And that's what we got to
do. I'm not supposed to preach against darkness or deception. I'm not allowed. In the New Testament, you only talk about the pleasant and the nice things. The nice thing is that Jesus loves you and Jesus saves and he redeems and he delivers. So, but I got to warn you about the darkness, because if I don't, I'd be remiss in my responsibility. Because if I don't warn you, chapter 3 and Ezekiel 18 said, if I don't warn you, if I refuse to cry out and not spare not, the blood is going to be on my hand. It's not going to be on your hand. So I'm not going to worry about what you say. You could get bad if you want to. I ain't going to let the blood be on my hand if I fail to warn you and blow the trumpet. Well, don't warn me. I don't want to hear that. Tell me how God going to bless. I'm blessing you right now to bring you out of. I'm blessing you now to keep you out of darkness. What do you think that here I'm talking about? Keeping you out of deception. That's the greatest blessing, to keep you out of darkness, out of the snares of Satan. Well, no, that Brother Nate, he always talking that old stuff and blowing the trumpet and talking about sin and iniquity and all that stuff. I don't want to hear all that stuff. Brother Nate, you're going to have to quit it.
Let me think about it. No. I don't think so. I thought hard on it.
You ain't going to quit?
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, then you had to go back and apologize if you quit. You got to apologize to Noah because he warned him. And you had to go and apologize to him if you don't warn him because Noah warned him.
Right.
And you had to go back and you had to get Brother Enoch. He warned his generation. And then you had to go back to Moses, who warned Israel about idolatry and paganism. And then you had to go on down Joshua. Then you had to just go all the way to, Elijah and Elisha, how he warned them about witchcraft and sorcery and paganism in Elijah's day. And Jeremiah, don't forget about Brother Jeremiah, he cried out, Isaiah, oh man, Hosea and Ezekiel and all of them. And they warned people, if you don't, we don't want them, we had to go and apologize to all these prophets, right?
Right, right.
So,
there's a lot of them too, brother.
Okay. Well, we're glad that this is a glorious night. We have good news. Jesus Christ is alive. We got news for you. He redeemed us on the cross of Calvary, the blood of shed. He's alive. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, you're going to have to quit this talking about sin and the wickedness and unrighteousness. You're going to have to quit that because that's not popular. Okay? So you're going to get off of that. Okay? All right.
Yeah.
You're going to have to
quit. I know, but. I just can't do it. It's something about the commissioner, the great commander, that when he gives the commandment, I thought about it. I said, who should I listen to? Then I thought about who created me, and I said, I better go with him. I'm going to go with the creator.
But no, you got to go with the creature. If they get upset and mad, they don't want to hear that, close their ears like they did in Jeremiah and Hosea's days, and in Michael's day, and close their ears and try to kill Jesus. You know, they try to kill Jesus so many times when he started telling them stuff. They picks up rocks and stones. And, man, he had so many rocks thrown at him, he had to leave them missed. So you in good company, brother. Them rocks they're throwing at you, they ain't throwing them at me, though. But I just thought I would, kind of protect you.
Yeah, they do have you in the clique. So, yeah, they grabbing the stone for you too. They didn't want you to.
Yeah, but mine's kind of light. Mine's kind of light. Yours kind of heavy. Yours kind of rocks is kind of heavy. So you better watch it. Your rocks they throwing at you is kind of heavy. Especially the Christians, they don't like to hear certain things. They, you know, most Christians all they want to hear one side of the truth. One side.
Right.
What you call it?
Right.
The lemonade side. You call it the lemonade side.
Yeah, the syrup and the milk down, water down version, all that, they love to hear.
Wow. So you're not allowed to mention the 15,000 lies that the president has told? You're not allowed to mention that. Now, could you imagine people what they would think of me if I would just tell, get on here and tell 15 lies? He done told over 1,000 lies. What if I were to tell 1,000 lies? What does that think about me?
Well, you can forget the airtime, the TV time. you can forget appearance time. Because
what if
you show up nowhere?
But what if you tell 1,000 lies to your wife, your husband, your kids, your church people? They'll just overlook that. That's no big deal by you telling 20 lies a day. That's no big time, is it? There would be no problem with it. Now, Trump can tell them, and the people here was y'all, just bad news. Bad news, brother. Fake news. So I'm okay if I want to tell 15 lies, the people just overlook, right, and say fake news, right?
No, it ain't going to work. No, it ain't going to work. They ain't going to go for that one either. They ain't going to go for it.
I believe in forgiveness. Okay. I believe in mercy.
They ain't going to want you to speak no more, though. No, they don't want you to say nothing else
but
no more.
Trump can tell lies every day. It's okay for him to do it, right?
Yeah, those who are afraid to say something to him, you know, in their body, they know it's wrong.
Oh, I'm just asking, since they got a special rule for him and a special rule for me, the gospel, well, it get down to me, brother, Lee, you're telling 5 lies a day, we're going to have to call you a false prophet, a liar, and a deceiver, and but Mr. Trump, he's allowed to tell 15 a day, it's okay with him, it's all right. It's all right, no problem. I just wonder about these things. All right, saints, the women of God, we love you, and we got good news for Jesus, still alive, and he's coming, and he has good things for our lives. That's why in the health disease, when the doctor treats the saint and sinner, it's the same problem in your body. And you say, well, I'm a saint, and I've been redeemed, but your body has not. Did you get that, Brother Nate?
Right. Right.
I don't care if you say your body has not been redeemed. Now, you can use your faith and bring much faith in God and use it in authority and get great results. But you cannot use your faith, saints. You cannot use your faith to counteract the laws of God. You get that?
Right.
You cannot use your faith to counteract what God has said concerning your body. Now, if you don't think that's real, the natural laws that affect your flesh and your body, your temple, your earthly temple, when saints and sinners go to the doctor and the emergency room and they have the same cancer, the same high blood, cholesterol, high blood, the doctor don't know the difference between the saint's body and the sinner's body, because he tells them the same thing that affects the saint in the body affects the sinner, because there's a law of God concerning your flesh, just like a law concerning your eternity. The law of God never changes just because Jesus died on the cross. Jesus didn't die. He said, I come to fulfill, not do away with the law. I'm not talking about the ordinances. I'm talking about the law of God. I'm talking about the ordinances, the 683 ordinances that he gave Israel. I'm talking about the law of life, the law of health, the law of society, the law of the marriage. Listen, the law of the home, the law concerning your body, the food that you eat, the stress that you put in your mind, the same stress, anxiety, the same fear will affect the saint if he allow it to, just like it would the sinner. Now, if the saint have heart problems and strokes and die and from stress or anxiety or eating the wrong food, then the sinner is governed by the same law of health. Am I right about it? Correct me, brother, if I'm wrong. Somebody correct me. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
The Lord God wants us to live long and be in health and prosper as the trees of Lebanon. That's his intent when he came back with the law of life and the law of redemption, that you might live long, have peace, have joy, have health, prosperity, and joy. He intended to redeem us, but we're not tapping into it. I miss some things because I haven't effectively walked in the light of his law. And if I disregard the law and the will of God concerning certain things, it's going to affect my life. If I don't pay my tithes and sow my tithes spiritually as a redeemer and sow seeds unto God, then it's going to affect my, what, finances. Is that right? That ain't going to change because it was old. Is that right?
Amen.
So I get over in the Old New Testament, I ain't got to sow no tithes and no tea, and I can, I ain't going to believe that. Well, okay, if you don't sow what God said, sow your tithes and your order, he said, I won't pour out the blessing upon you. He said, well, that don't affect me. I don't have to sow to help the work of God, the gospel, the poor and the hungry, to get out by sowing my tithes, one-tenth. I don't have to do that. Well, if you steal from God and rob God, what he said, Malachi, that law affects old and new. That law don't change. Because you jump over here in the New Testament and say, oh, I ain't got to pay no tithes, and I ain't got to support the work of God. I ain't got to sow no seeds. I don't have to do that. I'm free. Okay. You're free, huh? Okay. You're not free from God's law. You may be free, redeemed from the nature of sin and the mind of sin and the penalty of sin, but you're not free not to obey the law concerning the law of finance and your well-being. Well, thought I'd throw that in there, Brother Nate. Give and it shall be given you, pressed down, good measure shall men get onto your bosom. Now, why is it you have to give in order to get? Well, that's a law. Give and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Luke 6:38? Yeah, I think so. Why is it that giving, you can give evil or give wickedness or give unrighteousness or give hate or give bitterness? But you give the word of God, which is concerning life, give peace, give joy, you'll get more. You give love, you'll get more. It'll return to you. Give faith, faith will return to you in double. Give mercy. God said, blessed are the merciful, you shall obtain mercy. So whatever you give, you grow in a tree and a seed, and you're going to get more. So you give, what do you give? That's the law. So in the financial area, the Lord ordained where you can be blessed financially. I'm not talking about these people with all these schemes. Brother, I ain't talking about them on TV. All these schemes, the blessed rock, the blessed water, give me that. That prosperity thing is going wacky. I've been telling people for years that was out of order. But I've been telling people for the last 15, 20 years that preaching was, that teaching about prosperity is out of order. It was totally out of order in most cases. Not in every case, but most cases. And so it was being abused, misused, and manipulated. But I'm talking about the right understanding of the law of finance concerning sowing in good ground. Now, tonight we're talking about how can we bless the little children of the world that are crying out in hunger and depression, sickness, disease, no water, no food, and the mother. How can we sow? Galatians said, as a man soweth, so shall he reap. Now, the sowing does not just talk about one thing. It's not talking about one area. A precept that's established in God affects everything. One precept. It's not just about the spiritual. It's talking about the natural. It goes into political, into business. It affects all flesh. If I sow to my kidney the proper water and enough clear water, it will cleanse my body. If I keep sowing proper enough water, it will cleanse my kidney. I will see the result. This is the law concerning life and health. If I sow, since my body is made up two-thirds, 60% water or a liquid, if I sow enough pure, clean water, my kidney, my stomach, my colon will reap the benefits. If I don't sow the right and good and excellent thing, then my kidney, my liver, my intestines, and my colon is going to say, But the nature, you're not giving me enough water to work up here. What are you trying to do to me? And what are you trying to do, Nate? You're not giving me enough water, and my body requires so much water to get rid of this junk down here. And you said, hey, I'm saved, sanctified. I ain't got to drink no water. Your body going to say, that's good and well. I recognize your spirit and your soul, but I'm the body. I'm made out of dust. I come from the earth. You're going to have to give me some water. This body was created out of the earth. It wasn't created in heaven. So you're going to have to obey and give me some help down here, as long as you're down here on this earth with this earthly body. You ain't got no heavenly body, no spiritual body yet. You're going to have to give me some food and some water that make me well. Well, I ain't got to obey. I'm saved, sanctified, filled. I ain't got to do that. Okay. You ain't going to listen, huh? Okay, I see you hard-headed. You a know-it-all. Okay, I'm going to have to show you. So the kidney going to get said, liver going to say, the colon going to, and they're going to have a half talk. The kidney going to, he'll talk to the colon and the intestine, and he'll say, hey, I'm just using paraphrase, trying to give you an example. The kidney and the bloodstream and the intestinal and the glands, they're all going to get together and say, we ain't being treated right down here. Now, they're not sowing nothing good down in my body. And I'm not getting enough water and liquid to get this toxin out of your body. They keep saying I'm saved, sanctified. I said, that's good and well. But there's a law concerning the temple. All right. All right, then. Jesus wants you to live well, long, and this body to be healthy for his glory. He wants you to look well. Stay here as long as you can for your family, for the kingdom of God, and for the good of the earth. He wants you to stay here to bless your children, your home, your family, your loved ones, and the earth and mankind. To be in health, to prosper, be in health as your soul understands. All right, Brother Nate, where are the sowers of good seed for the children? If any sisters out there tonight and women, we're concerned about the children, the little children of the world, and the mothers and the widows. We're concerned, how can we sow something to help them? Amen. Oh, Brother Nate, you want to have said, I don't say enough, because we like for women all over the world to respond to us, how we can bless your nation. No, we're not billionaires like Mr. Trump. And we're not, you know, real billionaires like Mr. Gates and Warren Buffett, real billionaires. But we do will consider you in prayer and faith before God and sow a seed where God give us to sow something to help the little children, the starving people, the children in the nations. Okay, Brother Nate, you want to give it? Women out there, wherever nation you are, the gospel, the good news that God cares, we care. And we go beyond just saying that we will do something and sow a seed somewhere where we can help you to get clean water, help missionaries, to help help missionaries who leave America and different places and go there to minister as help missionaries for your health. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. Thank you. You want to say okay?
We want to welcome Sister Anderson on. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brothers. God bless you.
God bless. I just want to say concerning, and I want to reiterate this to the people again, because, you know, how the Lord had dealt with me. You know, and I want to talk about the sowing seed of financing. You know, many times we and even concerning our own blessing, we mess it up. Now, some of you out there may be thinking that you got to, quote, sow a large number starting off. And it is not about that. It's about sowing from your heart. If you are faithful in the little that you have that you can sow, God will bless you with greater, that you may be able to sow greater. It has to start, you know, somewhere. And it has to start, you know, because I had that mentality, and I said, Lord, you give me some money, I'm gonna sow the seed to the little children and all that. But see, I'm thinking big. And that's when God showed me, said, you have the seed in your hand already. And he showed me that. And so he even blessed me through that. And I say that to say this, there are some out there who, you know, they're looking at, quote, large amount. That I need to sow large amount first. And it's not about the large amount per se. It's about sowing from the heart. So listen, if you financially, if you only can sow $10, I mean, hey, $10 and you faithfully do that, God will bless you with greater, that you can sow greater.
Could I say this, brother?
Yeah.
If you got $1,
right?
And because in many nations some people don't have less, I want to say this: whatever you sow unto God and the good grounds, whatever you sow from the heart for good, if it's 10 cents, 10 cents, whatever within your ability, if you sow a prayer, a sow a intercession, or a fasting, a commitment, or sow a seed of love or encouragement or faith to someone, which people need that too, a prayer of faith, communicate your love or intercession to help somebody, you're sowing a deliverance to them. If you want to sow in the front, and those things count. It's not, it's a finance, it's a part of a, but the sowing is not just financing money alone, because a lot of people have to give different things what they got. So the Bible says, whatever in your hand, sow ye, whatever good thing is in your hand. The woman, the widow that Jesus saw, had one mite in reference to one penny. And Jesus saw her sow in the temple, the one mite. And he said to them, to the people that was giving much, because he knew their motive, why they were giving and what they wanted, self-glory. But he saw this widow, this woman, and she sowed all she, Jesus said, she sowed more than all of you. But she only sowed one little mite. That's all she had. That's all was in her hand. So what's in your hand, your in your reach, within what you can, you sow that from your heart.
Yes.
And God will receive that and multiply. So no matter where you are, if you don't have any money, start sowing to that neighbor, help. Go and help her to clean her house, wash her, encourage her, call her up, give her a message, send a telephone, sow deliverance, renew them, sow courage, sow faith, sow hope. Wherever you can sow a good seed.
Yeah.
Maybe you ain't got no money to give them, but you can help them in other ways. That's why he told the disciples. He told the disciples, and to feed the people. He said, well, we ain't got but a loaf and a bread. He said, sow what you got.
Amen.
Use what you got.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If it's just going over there and say, I don't have any money, but I'm going to sow this prayer of faith that God would have blessed you. I'm going to sow this grace. I'll clean your house up. I'll make you clean the floor. I'll sow, sit down and give you some courage and some faith, some hope. Sow what God puts in your ability to sow.
Yeah,
in the finances.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't got but one penny, say, Lord, I'm giving it from my heart. That's all I got. I'm sowing it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Sowing it in faith.
Yeah.
And God's sowing with the right motive. Some people are sowing just to be seen. And Jesus told the Pharisees, you're just sowing. So people say, oh, see how they owe. God knew their motive. It wasn't the amount. It's the motive. It's the motive of the sowing and the reason you're sowing. Self-glory.
Amen.
Well, now the hungry and the sick and the diseased and the oppressed. In your neighborhood, there is always something you can sow in your house or your neighborhood, your community. That's where it begins, always.
Yeah.
Within your reach.
Mm-hmm.
Within your reach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people can sow different places and different enlargement borders. The Bible says enlargement borders. Jabez prayed a prayer in Chronicles chapter 4 and 10. And his prayer was, Jabez, enlarge my borders, enlarge my coast. That means Brother Nate is on this radio, and he's faithfully, and Emmanuel, whoever, they sow to this and bless this, God will enlarge it. Whether it be on TV or Instagram, he would enlarge that. If you're faithful over that which is least, faithful over that which is least, he'll make you ruler over that which is merged. So the thing about it is, the little seed is so small. Well, I ain't doing much. Now. God said, I'll multiply. Don't worry about that. Just be faithful. Don't worry about that.
You
can start out on one station. Just don't worry about it. Just be faithful over that one station. Well, you blessed that one person. Hey, you did it in my name. You represented me. You blessed one person. Mm-hmm. It's just like me doing it. So I'll honor that.
Yes.
Yes, I pray for Mr. Trump. I don't have to like what he do. I don't have to agree with his sins and his lies and deception. But I do have to pray and ask God to help him, to deliver him, and bless our nation. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I have to ask God to forgive him and change his life and change his mind. I have to do that. Mm-hmm. That's the will of God. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Sowing. Right.
Amen.
Good seed.
Jesus.
Use that what's in your hand, your ability, and your reach.
Yes.
And you want to help the children of the world? Start with the children of your community.
Amen.
Amen.
That one girl, one family, one person.
Amen.
They need you to sow something into their life, a good seed.
Yeah.
God will give you some love. Well, manifest that love to their need.
Amen.
Manifest that love to their need, their more urgent need. Well, I ain't got a lot of, manifest what God give you to their need.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If every Christian, every believer born again, redeemed, say, listen, God, help me to sow something to the cry of the little children, to the women. If one Christian, every Christian, say, in America, born again, saved, would just sow $1 a week.
Yeah.
$1 a week.
Yeah.
We throw away more food, potato chips, and leftovers, which goes into hundreds of dollars, because in many cases, Americans, in some cases, a lot of cases are wasteful.
Yeah, man.
I said it. I got to make everybody mad. I got to might as well just go and finish it. We Americans, we got so much. We're so blessed. We are, many cases, are wasteful.
Yes.
I've been through that. I'm not leaving myself out. leaving myself out. But I have learned some things, and I had to repent and confess it, and learn wisdom. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. When you learn and change, that's wisdom.
Amen.
Now, so if you as you go along, it says I've been wasteful in my spending. I've been overindulging. Overindulging. If we sow in the book of Matthew 6, teaching the laws of the kingdom of God about living, the 5th, 6th, and 7th of Matthew, what we call the Beatitude, are the laws of the kingdom of how we should live, the laws of the kingdom living. And he said, first, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll add to you. Now, so you ain't got to cheat nobody.
Yeah.
You ain't got greedy and do like America, capitalism, at any cost for success. Any cost, Brother Nate. Any cost, anyway.
Yeah.
Christians have got there. Christians have got cut to that stuff. Child, want me to have this. God want me to have this. And any way you get there, baby, and get it, they think that they're lying, they're cheating, they're cheating God and cheating people, that's what God wants them in order to get that, so they can show people a false sense of prosperity, a false sense, a false sense of prosperity. Five credit cards, six credit cards, in order to come through and show up at the church with your 2-4 coats and your car, and you max out and you dax out. If I'm talking somebody, I'm talking to deliver you, not trying to offend you, trying to awaken you, beloved. So you will sow seed to the nations, the people that need you the most.
Yes,
maybe to your own family.
Yeah.
Maybe to your own family. And to your wife and a husband. One might be a thin strip. That's spared everything they get. How do you think? Sometimes it can get out of balance in Christians. One person want to spend all the money and don't want to save and discipline nothing. Just want to get a pair of shoes every payday, a fur coat every payday, until they maxed out with selfishness. Now, I've been there. You can't tell me because I've been down there. I've been down that road. I know what it tastes like. I'm talking about me now. It may not touch you, but I'm talking about what I used to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But when I got set free with the wisdom of God, what to sow into people's lives. So, all right, saints, the women of God, I didn't take all your time, so come on, this is Handmaid's Night.
We got about 9 minutes left.
Okay, well, tell them we got 15 minutes left, so no problem. Go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead, sisters, don't throw away your time.
I thank the Lord for the conversation, and I was listening, and I thank God for Brother Nathaniel talking about, like, the order of God, and I was reading and thinking about different things, and the covenant became a law, which violated, it was out of order. And I thank and I praise the Lord because you can pick up on, I'll say, my husband got a habit of saying reading between the lines, but I thank God the conversation that went forth because I did pick up on a lot of things by listening listening at things that wasn't said. And I thank and I praise God for the words tonight.
Amen. I thank the Lord for the message that went forth on tonight. And, as Brother Lee was talking about the hip law, and, sometimes it's so easy, to get off track. But the Lord, he have his way and know how to put you back on track. And, and I said, yes. And I was sitting there and I was drinking some lime water. And then I had like some turmeric tea and some apple cider tea. And I said, oh, yeah, when them bones start hurting, you know how to get back on track. And so I just thank the Lord, for that word that had went forth on tonight. And, when you know to do better, you have to do better, and, for the benefit, of your body and your health. And, I just thank the Lord, for the children. And me and Sister Addison, we've been talking and coming up with some things, and I just truly thank the Lord, for that, that we'll be able to let Brother Lee and Brother Nathaniel know, something soon. Amen.
Thank God for that. And hopefully you continue. The Lord open doors and enlarge our borders too. Reach out and minister and sow to somebody's need, especially the children. The children have been on my heart for the last, last 10 years.
Yeah.
The little children, more than 10 years.
Yeah.
The Lord has been dealing with me about for the 10 years, and he's going to raise up children.
Amen.
He's going to raise up armies of young people.
Yes.
Yes.
Ekosha.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to raise up mighty, mighty, I call them little Elijahs, little Joshuas, and little Calebs.
Amen.
And little Elizabeths and Miriams and
yes, yes.
Can't leave out the sisters. So he's gonna raise up an army of men, of young children, men and women, male and female, and they're gonna evangelize.
Amen.
They're gonna stand on shores and prophesy. Little children, five, six, seven, 8 years old, nine.
Amen.
And they're gonna have visions and angels and revelation, and they're gonna show up the church world of the grown people. They're gonna make you either glad or mad, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gonna raise up of unknown children, young and old.
Mm-hmm.
So pay attention.
Every little
child, and every home you go to, as a believer and a Christian, if they give you permission, pray for the children. If every place proper and timely, pray for the children. I don't care, you male or female, leave a blessing on them in that household.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're near the time up, and we'll invite all the little children and the mothers and whoever listening to give their life, their heart, their commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and your Redeemer tonight. If you haven't made a covenant with him, if you haven't made a decision about salvation and redemption, it's available.
Amen.
It's available. It's available to you tonight. You don't, and so I'm just saying to you as we talk, you don't have to go to a sanctuary or a synagogue necessarily. You do have to eventually to have a place to go to minister to you. But to receive the gift of salvation, the gift of healing or deliverance, you can do it by hearing the word of God and accepting the promise of God.
Amen.
And you can do it tonight. If you're 10,000 miles away, Jesus is there. If you're 100,000 miles, Jesus is there. If you're sick and oppressed, you're bound. Jesus Christ is there because his word is going out, and he watches over his word to do it. And he's right there to fulfill his word. And if you believe that he died for your sins and rose again and shed his blood and said, Lord, I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again to justify me and deliver me. I'm confessing that I'm a sinner lost, and I receive by faith your salvation, the gift of life. And you can ask him for the gift of life and the gift of salvation. And through faith, and so, Lord, I trust you to be my Savior, transform my life, deliver me, wash me, make me whole and new again. And Jesus will do exactly what he said in Romans 10 and what he did concerning you receiving the gift of life in Christ, forgiveness. And now your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if you make that decision to invite Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, and the gift of eternal life will come to you, trusting in the Son of God. And then after you do that, you'll praise the Lord. I got to be baptized in your name, and your authority is your name. Where should I go to be baptized? Lord, direct me. Where should I do to be baptized? Nurturing and the Holy Spirit rule over my life. Then he'll direct you, and he'll give you direction. Well, we love you, saints, and this is Brother Nate and Brother Lee and Sister Helen. Want to know we're not here for about money or about fame. We're here for you in obedience to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't forget, tomorrow night, we'll have another God's Word of Man broadcast. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. Once again, we thank God for all of you, and for Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Teague. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
Amen.